Mr. Stelick, how are you this morning?
Well, I had experience. I'm good. When Wilner and other blues, you know, back in the, I go back in the 80s, but sometimes we get a phone call about something, you know, and people be looking for something and at the Leaf offices. And their last line always would be, well, I'm going to call the Jays and I can see why you guys are such losers. So that was always the trump card they can play. So I've had 12 years experience earlier, like Wilner's feeling now.
So if someone called you up last night and said, I'm going to jump, what would you tell them to talk him off the ledge?
Well, you just have to bring it back to non-hockey things about life being worth living and all that. You know, we got a guy, Steve Fellin, who does a great job with digging up stats at a moment's notice at Sportsnet. Unbelievable job. And so with Mark Osborne, you know, we're going over some things on the post-game show about looking at worst calendar months as far as record goes and goals for and that. And Ozzy goes, you know, why do you have to talk about the 1980s? I said, I'm not talking about it. Steve Fellin sent back, and this month is comparable to the 1980s. It was, you know, they were 2-12-1 in 1 month, and that was the worst record. So they could get the worst calendar month record if they don't win on Saturday. Otherwise, they'll tie it. And that goes back to then. And the other one is they're only averaging 1.25 goals per game in January. This was the number one scoring team on New Year's Eve, and now this would be, they go back to November 1997 when guys had fled and Mike Murphy was coaching, and they only averaged 1.77 goals per month and per game that month. And I don't mean to throw many stats out there, but I just, that's the part that you're saying, seriously, like the record's one thing, but to be the number one scoring team to now having the most futile offensive output in a single month ever, come on.
I'm just looking at this. I believe there are seven English Premiership teams that have scored more goals per game than the Leafs this month.
Well, and you know, McCowan would hop on that, anything soccer-wise. And, so that's why when you said, if, you know, I think Leaf fans right now, it's not about jumping off a ledge. It's that you've just got to caution them to be careful, make sure the light is green and not red, because they're probably mulling everything over in their head and not paying attention to simple things like that, like traffic signals.
Court Stelick is the host of our Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. Fan. All right, that goal that Bernier let in, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I thought we're still sitting here trying to figure out, I think, whether or not Jonathan Bernier, and not just because of that one goal, or the other goal he let in from the side, but man, you got to figure out if you want to make a long term commitment to this guy this year. And Gord, a month and a half ago, I'm saying yeah, he's not the reason they are where they are right now. But I don't know. I don't know about Jonathan Bernier. I don't know if I want to commit to him.
Yeah, the tough one is you say yes or you say no, or you say we have no other choice, which you never really like to have. And unlike that 6-year run when they got Curtis Joseph for 4 years and Ed Belfour for 2 years as UFAs, I mean, that you know, made a world of difference. And I don't see something similar, you know, being out there. But Chris Johnson joined us after last night. And to put, again, perspective on it, Jeff, that if you take the first 40 minutes and Jonathan Bernier is the number one star of the game, like he is, the first 40 minutes. And I do agree that he's had this penchant for weird goals. I don't know if there's a weird goal that he ever had a really good time. A good time would be when you're winning 5-1 and maybe it's a chintzy second goal against and you forget about it. But, he has had more than his share of that. So that's been a little bit perplexing. But, you know, Jeff, part of being a good team is saying, our goaltender saved our bacon for 40 minutes. Let's get him out of this hole. And if you score one goal per game, you're not going to win many games. I mean, that's kind of where it goes back to again. And then you had the other element last night that you could say, at least in the Peter Horachuk era, that they've cut down shots against and made it easier on their goal. They were 45 last night, right?
Yes.
It's like they decided, you know what, this system isn't working and screw it. So they weren't even doing the 5-5-5 system and cutting shots down to under 30.
That's funny. And I mean, oh, whatever. Danny Dagger, Dano on Twitter. Jonathan Bernier's reaction after the blue line goal. This is actually pretty good. Quote, well, it also happened to Nelson Mandela earlier in his career. Now, that's not bad.
You know,
that's not bad.
that's not bad. I still always find that, and I say that with empathy for Jonathan Bernier. I just still always find that one of the stranger moments. So as people thought of tweets, I kind of thought of that one. That's not bad, yes.
No. Apparently, Jonathan Bernier anagram is arena job thinner.
Well, but like I said, if they get a few more, you think of what was it, how many years ago, Jerome Bettis, screw it, losing the
yep.
ball. And if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get his arm in to tackle the guy and then Vanderjagt misses the field goal, Jerome Bettis' career is about that terrible fumble, right? Like, that's what great teams do, is somebody bails you out. And that's where I go back to it, that, yeah, it was the second goal, it was in a lot of ways, was more bothersome because it was just a soft goal. The first goal was just absurd. And one of those things. But then, again, was there any urgency after that? Like, I mean, seriously, was there any pushback urgency, like hell-bent for leather for a Leaf team that decided the last 60 minutes they were going to do whatever they could to tie it up? I really didn't see it.
No, the one thing I'll say about what happened last night, we're joined by Gord Stella, co-host of our Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I thought there were some players who tried to step up. I thought, again, Morgan Riley, I mean, I know he got caught out of position a couple of times, but Morgan Riley tried to make something happen. I'm going to come up with somebody else at some point. I thought Kessel's first period, despite the fact he got the goal, I didn't think his first period was all that good. I thought his second and third period were better.
Absolutely.
I really did. Especially, I thought, in the second period, he was quite good.
Yeah. You know, there's, I mean, that's when we come down to grading it that way. But, yeah, it's interesting. And it's, again, we go back to Kadri's never really worked with Kessel all that way. Komarov hasn't either. So when you're splitting the lines up, it seems at the end of the day that big line being together is still the best thing for those three guys, even though that line went south last year when they were struggling and has gone south this year when they're struggling. The difference this year, Jeff, was we, with the Leafs, had more balanced scoring. Last year it was that line and maybe Mason Raymond and nobody else after Bolin got hurt. And this year, I can remember when in the heady days back in November that at one point, like Richard Ponick got signed, there was his seventh or eighth goal of the year, something like that, and you're saying, wow, fourth line guy is on a 20-goal pace, and that's what the kind of balance you were getting, and now he's a healthy scratch last night.
Gord, we know where this team is right now. We know where they are in terms of, I think, what management has to do. Whether or not it can do it is another thing. Your column in Sportsnet.ca this week did a terrific job of laying out the groundwork. I mean, look, this is what you're looking at doing if you're going to have a rebuild. But I got to ask you this. There were a lot of empty seats last night. Towards the end of the game, there were even, obviously, a lot of people had left. The mood in the building, I wasn't at the game, but it certainly came across on TV and radio. And I know people who were at the game have told me, I mean, it was, again, even on sort of with the low bar we've set for crowds at the ACC, it was pretty bad. You still got 30-odd games left in the season. And Leafs fans have put up with a lot, but I mean, are we getting to a tipping point, do you think?
No, trust me. Working in the Ballard era, we tested that about a tipping point.
Okay.
And I've been part of that experiment, okay, on the negative side. And it was weird. The second period was such an entertaining period. And Ozzie and I, at the end of the game, we were curious the fans' reaction. And it's almost like the players right now, it's seemingly apathetic. Like, no players are really getting upset. And the fans, and that's the worst emotion. Like, the Jays want to go back to those days when they're debating about Candiotti or Guzman pitching that series against the Minnesota Twins or whatever. I mean, that kind of passion. And that's the scary part that you're seeing right now. And, it's funny, Jeff, and it's part of what I touched on in the column is that, like, Leafs fans are still, I'll run into everybody and they'll go, okay, let's just do the rebuild right this time. Mm-hmm. And they seem to think that, okay, we'll pay the price again, but let's do it properly. Well, you look at the Edmonton Oilers coming dead last all the time. It isn't that easy. Brian Burke got rid of everybody. He did do a rebuild. Like, Brian Burke, in his own way, got rid of every player going. And as well, look at the lineup now. They've acquired JVR, was a second overall pick. Phil Kessel, I think, was fifth. They drafted Nazem Kadri high and Morgan Riley high, and Nylander's a high pick. And, you know, so it's not, and Bernier was a high pick by LA. So it's not like it's like everyone seems to think they don't have any top 10 guys that were, no, they do. Like, you know, so this rebuild is not realistic. So that's kind of the problem. And that is the problem that way. They've got to hope they can do a little bit of a retool like the Raptors did, about you do a couple little tweaks and you figure out which guys it's imperative to keep, and then you can get back on track a lot quicker than, you know, maybe people think on this particular day.
Gord, when do we start hearing people agitate for William Nylander to join this team?
Well, probably tomorrow, but I would keep him down there for the rest of the year. I mean, the one reason they brought him here were concerns about it wasn't really going all that great over in Sweden. I mean, you know, who would have thought Modo, a team like that, would be a team of concern? But no, I would never in a million years. This is what they did with Kadri. Mm-hmm. Oh, they brought him up three times in a row, and that got it out of whack. Like, about, you know, the guy in the American League learning his trade is not the guy that's going to turn your team around at the NHL level. So I would certainly hope they don't rush him up. And on the other side, I got to give him credit about Morgan Riley. Like, you know, he's another guy you could have said got rushed, but he is really, really looking at home there. And I know we said this with Luke Shen a few years ago, who's kind of become an ordinary NHL player, but hopefully Morgan Riley can maybe go a step or two further along than Shen was able to do.
Yeah, and I think if you look at Morgan Riley, he's got a little different skill set than Shen as well, doesn't he? I mean, he really does seem to be an adaptable guy, which is, you know, one of the things I really like about his game. He looks like the type of guy you could pretty much pair with anybody, to be honest, and he's gonna structure his game accordingly.
Yeah, and I like that he's feeling a little bit more confident that way to, you know, do things. And I mean, another guy, you know, I was in there chatting, like JVR to me is a guy you got to keep as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think likely one of Kessel or Phaneuf should go just to change the makeup, you know, just to change. And I hate when I say going back to this all the time, but people think quite often I make too much out of Salute Gate, but I watched it that night, not as a slight to me or whatever. I just couldn't believe, to me, it spoke volumes of a sucky team lacking leadership. But, you know, you walk into your local Walmart and the greeter tells you to go to hell, and that's how you run business, right? You know?
Yeah.
And that's what that night, like, even though they went on a good tear after, and I said, I hope they could build from that as far as leadership went and whatever. But, you know, I kind of see that on the ice, what they displayed that night after the game, that they're isn't that real sense of great leadership in that dressing room. So whenever there is some adversity, where it's dealt with in a long, prolonged losing streak on the ice, or with a stupid, ill-advised action like it was on that night. I mean, there's no other team, I believe, that has ever, you know, whether you like the Salute or not, if you don't want to have it, fine. But has ever snubbed their fans like that after a win? In any sport, I don't think anyway.
No.
Could be wrong.
No, I mean, it might happen in soccer or something like that, but you know.
Yeah, Fingergate, yeah.
Exactly. Mr. Stelic, I'm going to let you run. Have a good weekend.
A good one. Yeah, we're at it. January's not over yet, so they got a chance hopefully tomorrow. If they lose, it's their worst record ever in a month. So that's something
sweet
to shoot for.
And don't forget, you know what day Monday is?
Monday is
Groundhog Day.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh my God. Okay. I forgot about Super Bowl Sunday. See, I'm okay.
Groundhog Day.
Oh my God.
We'll have some fun with that. Take care, Gord.
Okay, you cast a big shadow, I'll tell you that.
Okay.